And welcome to the fourth episode of All I Do Is Fail, the podcast in which we like to look at life's failures and celebrate them. I'm joined today by my co-host, Mr. Ali Woods.
Hello! Oh, God. My voice is... Okay, sorry, listeners. It's going to be like this. Okay, hello.
Yeah. And I'm joined by the very talented comedian and writer, Brody Stew.
Hello.
Hello. And I'm Tom Elwes, because I always forget to say that, but I am Tom Elwes. Also a comedian. Okay, right, we're going to start, as we always do, with the news. I'm not doing it this week because I've been too busy, so I'm going to pass you over to Ali Woods for the news.
The news at 12:30. The news today. Oh, okay, guys, so I've got some rubbish fails that people have done. But do you want to talk about maybe that one big news story that we... that is in comedy.
We're going to go straight there.
Should we go before or afterwards?
I think let's just get it over and done with and then move on to the lighthearted...
Yeah. That one that's news. Possibly going to get just no humour out of it whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, there's limited jokes that can be made there all round. But so this is the story of Louis C.K., the famed American comic who has been recently done for several accounts. Well, not done. Done is the wrong word. Mm. Exposed in the media for several accounts of sexual harassment.
Has he actually been arrested?
No.
Well, to be fair, he was exposed about like 5-ish years ago and denied what the allegations were. And then only now, with all the other stuff that's coming out in the media, with your Harveys of the world and all of that sort of stuff, has he gone... Oh, yeah, actually, sorry, it was true. Mm. I think that's why it's so much worse.
So my flatmate is doing a law degree, so probably isn't like the most qualified, but he said he came out and apologised because what he did, as in because there was no physical contact, there'll never, ever be a criminal conviction there. It'd be like virtually impossible to get something that was over 5 years old to get a criminal conviction. So he's admitting it and trying to get away with it and cover it up as much and get rid of it, the story. Whereas like Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey will not come out and say officially that we did it.
Kevin Spacey did come out.
Well, he said he didn't know and like he couldn't recall the accounts, and he's not gonna go through all the account people who have now come out and accused him of rape and say, yeah, I did it, because there can be a criminal trial there. Yeah. Whereas with Louis C.K., there'd be nothing criminal.
Oh, so Louis can keep working. Good news.
Mm. Can he though? Was anyone going to go and see Louis? Like, imagine doing a gig and literally, like, the heckles you're going to get, like, you know?
I don't know, man. I don't know. People will still continue to enjoy his comedy, I think.
Mm. I feel like you're done. You know, he's rich enough. Just go, you know, and, you know, live your life, but you're done. I feel like you're done.
I think he's probably still protected by a certain amount of people. So I reckon he's probably going to continue to write, at least. Probably under a pseudonym, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
He's sad. I think he'll. I can see it in 10 years time.
What, coming back? 10 years time. I can't see not to like a mass audience, because you'll always just be. But also, what he did. What is it about the watching people masturbate? What is that? That's a really weird. You know.
I think obviously his thing that he was getting off on was humiliation, whether that was both for himself and for the victims, or whether it was just sort of him. He's obviously into a shame thing. So, yeah, I don't know. That sounds like I know far too much about getting off on shame. But we are comedians, aren't we? Yeah. So.
No, but I could say, fair enough. It's a shame. It's a shame. And I don't even think of it about the shame thing for him. Because it would be. Really, especially when it was... Because with two of the comments, it was two girls in the room kind of thing. Mm. So that's going to be instantly... That's shifted a dynamic, sort of. Mm. And that's going to be really embarrassing for you just to start doing that. Mm. So, yeah, okay, so it's a sort of strange...
And a power thing, I think, obviously, as well, because, you know, you've got those people in a super vulnerable situation. Fuck knows. Who even knows? Like, you can debate and talk about this for so long, but no one's ever really going to know what the motive behind something that insane is.
Mm. No, it's strange. I think there's been a bit of backlash of people going, oh, yeah, but you can't deny his artistic merits and all that sort of stuff, isn't it?
No, I think you lose your artistic merit when you realise that you're... The thing was, with Louis C.K., everyone trusted him to say the things that no one else could say. Yeah. Like, he did things on stage, like, he said the N-word, he, like, you know, spoke, you know, joked about rape, he did, you know, he pushed the line to, you know, as far as it can go, and everyone trusted him to be the mainstream comic to do that, because everyone thought he's a married man and not a monster.
But he's not married, to be fair, but...
I thought he was...
Well, it's just the fact that he's got two... girls, his children.
He was married at the time of the things, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, everyone trusted him to be that guy, but really be, you know, talk about it and joke about it, but not actually be a monster. But he is.
I don't know. For me, I was never particularly a huge fan of Louis C.K. Obviously, you can tell, you know, you can tell someone's brilliant, but you can also go, it's not really for me. That's how I've always felt about Louis C.K. But even watching his material, it's not like it was a massive shocker that he was terrible to women. Like, because, you know, obviously his attitudes are fairly obvious, I think, in stand-up, even if some of it was done in, like, a facetious way or whatever, and it's kind of like, you know, I don't really believe these things, but also I'm just kind of like,
But that's what really, like, threw me about it, because I really trusted the man to not actually...
Really? See, I just felt the opposite. It's like, this guy's clearly a shitbag.
Really? So I didn't think that. Because his thing for me was honesty and his confessional style of stand-up that he was like, I'm a shameful guy, but look, there's so much wrong with the world, and I'm included in that. But let's talk about all things. And he was supposed to be open on stage, and as you said, like, he did do stuff on stage, which was like incredible to watch, because it was breaking boundaries in a really clever and funny way. And to know that he does this to women is disgusting. It's hard to say shocked. I wouldn't say shocked if I were, because there were these rumours and all this stuff. There was, but I stupidly just thought, like, surely if that happens, like, it comes out. But obviously it takes a while for people to get the strength and to get the support to come out and say these things. Because he must be so protected in that industry.
That he, in his apology, air quotes, obviously can't say that on a podcast, but... you know, he did apologise to his manager and the people that work for him, because obviously they're now in fucking tons of trouble.
This is the other thing, like, with the Spacey thing, like, because they're having to reshoot that whole film without Kevin Spacey in it. But, like, you'd be, if you're a director or whatever, and you put, you know, hours and hours into making this film, like, you put your whole life into it, and then it's just like, right, the whole thing's fucked.
But they must have known, like, that's what at least people coming out and going, oh, he's a disgrace, and that, like, it's like, they work with these guys for decades, you know, like that.
But it's a fear thing, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like your job. It's always going to be your
job.
How
much looking the other way is happening in Hollywood, like, all the time?
Unbelievable, man.
How much looking away is happening on the fucking London open mic scene, for God's sake? Like, it's just, you know, it's everywhere. So, but I mean, like, do you remember that the Louis C.K. routine about, I can't remember which show it was in. It was sort of like the whole angle was, you know, women's biggest threat is men. And it was just kind of like, statistically, you know, we are, you know, it's just kind of like, you think about that now. And I remember watching that as, like, a younger comic, however many years ago, just being like, oh my God, like, nail on the head, kind of, this guy's, you know, and just listen to that now. It's just kind of like, oh wait, so you were leading that fucking charge the whole time.
I don't know. So we'll go. For me, he's done. I think I can't look at him in the same way. It's upsetting.
Yeah. Same with like, so looking at his material now
exactly.
But it's one of these things, like, where you kind of got to take your point, and like, are you never going to watch any films with Kevin Spacey in now? Like, not that he's making, as in, like,
I'll struggle. Like, Usual Suspects, great film, but now I'm going to struggle. Also, like, Baby Driver, like, I saw that over the summer. I was like, oh, this is a great film.
Oh, I didn't see that. It's on my list.
Yeah, so,
should it be?
Yeah, you're going to think differently because apparently he was, you know, groping all the camera crew the whole way through, so it's
men in power.
Yeah, but like, Spacey was all this stuff came. His brother did an interview about how they were all abused as kids and stuff, and it was like, it was really heavy and dark and messed up. Also, the I'm gay defense as well. That's just an amazing
defense. To come.
I mean, scrolling Twitter in the days following that, it was obviously horrendous, but some people were just like,
I did something terrible. I'm gay.
I think it's an endlessly interesting point about, because it's the same in music, you know, when, you know, you've heard certain things about certain people and certain people have committed certain crimes and there's rumours and stuff like that, but you'll still, you know... Who doesn't love fucking Remix to Ignition?
R. Kelly came back, to be fair.
Yeah, right. But it's like...
And he peed on a girl. So.
Yeah, a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
how did he get off? Is it because she lied about her age? Is that was his defense?
Oh man, I got no idea. Yeah. I mean, it's probably because he releases bangers, but you know,
you can't deny it. It's going to be everything.
Too much for the cheesy music scenes of universities everywhere. Yeah.
How bad is this going to get? Like, it's just going to get to a point where you just like can't listen or watch anything. You're just going to be stuck.
Well, this is the thing, because I think it's an endlessly interesting point about when someone you love does something you hate.
Mm.
You know, how do you justify your feeling toward them versus, you know, whatever they've done sort of thing. Did anyone watch the Sarah Silverman thing about Louis C.K.?
No.
Neither. I was going to be like, I sort of watched the, saw like, the title for it and just kind of went.
Smashing it. Yeah.
Again, with Baby Driver, it's on my list. Mm.
But no, it's crazy because you've got to make some sort of decision because it's a world away. It's not like you don't love them because of what they do sexually. You don't even think about that sort of thing.
It's because
this awful part of it comes into light. But
yeah.
All right, guys. Louis C.K. aside, this was within the story. You've probably seen this. Greg's sorry for replacing Jesus with sausage roll in Christmas advert. Have you not seen this? Have you seen this? Really?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. It's a great picture. I haven't got it here.
But, is it just a print?
So they did an advent calendar of like pastries.
Okay.
And the final one was like these wise men round this cradle thing. Yeah. It's just a sausage roll.
Okay.
So hang on.
So Jesus was a sausage roll.
So I got him. Greg says there are calls for the bakers to be boycotted after the sick publicity image, but others have been able to see the funny side. Greg has apologised for a Christmas advert that replaced the baby Jesus with a sausage roll in a traditional nativity scene. The offending image shows the three wise men surrounding one of Greg's trademark sausage rolls rather than the newborn Jesus.
See, I can see the offence because had this been a different religion, had this been they replaced Ganesh with a Scotch egg, there would be uproar. People would be, you know.
The Prophet Muhammad. Muhammad is a Cornish bastard.
Yeah, is a black person.
It's possibly the sentence of the day.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's you know it w- there would be oh, yeah. trouble. So yeah, I see the anger, but also I don't know. I feel like does anyone? You're only going to care if you're really religious.
I mean, it's blasphemy, isn't it? Whichever way you look at it. So did you say they did? Greg's have done an advent calendar of pastry.
Yeah.
Are there enough pastries?
Well, you have to get it and see what they say. Jesus. Maybe they do double up. Maybe like yum yum.
We're going
to
get it in for the Christmas special.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll
maybe each yum gets Christmas. Their own door.
Sorry.
Nothing. That was a terrible joke.
Christmas special. You want to come?
Yeah.
We're gonna put Greg's advent calendar. We'll just smash through that. We're gonna do Centurion as well. So we're gonna have a shot of beer every minute.
Cool.
Probably being a Saturday lunch.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to rig mics around and we'll figure it out.
So
we'll try and get everyone who's been on.
Yeah. But like that would be wicked. They come. This should really be done outside the podcast. But if they're coming in out like in those cheesy TV shows, they're like, "Who's that?
Mystery guest?
Oh, it's Alan Carr.
You guys gonna get Alan Carr in?
He's on next week, guys. Cool. So that's pretty good.
Him and Bashy are the same.
Yeah, Bashy and the Dragon, which is gonna be nothing to Brady, but like unless you listen to the whole of that second episode. Yeah,
do you know Bashy?
I don't. Who's Bashy?
He was a mid to early 2000s grime artist.
He had
a couple of hits, but now his career's taken off and he's big in Hollywood.
Do you know what? He just didn't make it to Australia. I don't know why.
What British music did in like a major way?
Oh, Jesus. Depends what
genre
you're talking
about. So like 2003, okay?
2003.
What was hot in Australia in 2003?
What was big?
I mean,
we can take 2004
There
as well.
Was like a lot of Ja Rule, Ashanti,
Nelly
and Kelly.
Okay.
That sort of stuff.
Did you get any of the crap British acts though? Did Hearsay make it over?
No, never heard about Hearsay till I moved here.
Oh man. What about
Mystique?
The Mystique Ladies?
Are they the ones that had Scandalous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Scandalous. Yeah. Fuck yeah. I think I bought that single for like $7.
Oh, amazing. What else?
Sugar Babes. Yeah, kind of, I think. I'm pretty sure they were on, like, our video hits.
Push the button. Great.
Push the button. I'm not going to lie to you. That is on my running playlist on Spotify.
Spice Girls must have been there.
Mate, that's the reason I moved here.
They were everywhere.
Yeah.
That's why you moved here?
That's why I moved here, Obsession with Spice Girls.
Favourite?
Ginger.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting take.
Yeah. I think it was that Union Jack dress just kind of, like, won it for me.
Very cool.
Do you remember the film?
You should rewatch that. Just out of it, we should that we can have it on during the Christmas party because that is some of the worst acting by any human.
But the cast is incredible. You've got Barry Humphreys, Richard E. Grant, you've got Jules Holland.
Really?
Yeah, Meatloaf is the bus driver.
They pulled in a ridiculous cast for that Spice Girls movie.
And all he does is just sit at the wheel and roll his eyes and be like, okay, girls. It's just so shit.
Because this came about...
Terrible for feminism. It's just...
this came about recently, someone brought this back, because I was like, what was the plot? Because I remember my sister got it for Christmas, and we were watching it, and there was some bus or something. I was like, what was the actual plot of that? So it looks up the plot. There are aliens in it.
There are aliens. Yeah. Do you remember that bit where the aliens come down and one of them just touches Mel B's boob? Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the plot of the Spice Girls movie. I feel like they could have made any plot and people would have gone to see it.
When you
build that much hype around something.
I feel like we should Google where the writers of that film are today.
Yeah. They're probably Hollywood execs somewhere smashing
it. Well, the last thing you want to be at this point is a Hollywood exec.
Exactly. Smashing it, probably the wrong term.
Cool. So next news story, guys. Second World War bomb turns out to be big courgette, police in Germany confirm. German police officers say the 5-kilogram vegetable spotted by a concerned 81-year-old man really did look very much like a bomb. Thoughts?
So was an area evacuated or did something...
Yeah, so he called the police because he thought he had a bomb in his garden.
Right.
A concerned pensioner alerted police to what he thought was a Second World War bomb in his garden, but the discovery turned out to be a little less terrifying. Officers called to the property in Bretten, near the southwestern German city of Karlsruhe. What accent was that?
Definitely not German.
Yeah. Apologies to our German listeners. Instead, found the 81-year-old discovery to be a particularly large courgette. In a statement on Friday, officers said the vegetable, which measured 40 centimetres in length, really did look like very much like a bomb.
Is this guy possibly a courgette farmer?
But they believe someone may have thrown the courgette over into the man's garden. I don't know why anyone would throw
a giant courgette.
5 kilos is a heavy thing. So
Would you look at something and go, I'm pretty sure that's a bomb? I'd have no idea what a bomb looks like unless it's got wires coming out of it or something.
Yeah.
I suppose Second World War bomb.
If it was like a big missile-y shell thing, you might be like...
shaped like a courgette.
I don't know. But he caused for concern and the police backed him, but,
Fair play to the police, or rather.
That's true.
They're always finding bombs, dug under... I remember being at primary school and they found a bomb down the road and they had to evacuate everyone. Yeah.
Wow.
World War II bomb.
Yeah.
Really?
Because when they do roadworks or whatever, they'll dig them up and they'll just be like, oh shit.
This country's history is mad, isn't it?
They do say that in September, about 60,000 people had to leave their homes in Frankfurt as explosives experts defuse a huge wartime bomb.
Yeah. Because like hundreds and hundreds didn't explode. And, they got deep into the dirt and then they'll get like tarmacked over or whatever. And then when they do roadworks, they'll dig them up and be like, oh shit.
Would you want to keep the bomb
that was in my garden? Yeah. Would legally it be yours? That's another thing.
Is it? What, the British military?
Yeah.
I'd imagine if I could sell it, I'd sell it to like the museum or something.
Yeah. What, sell it to a museum?
You can't sell things to a museum.
Do they just steal it?
No. You loan things to a museum, don't you? You don't sell it.
I'd sell it on eBay then.
They always have things like,
I've got a bomb, but you have to get it out. So that'd be the vote.
Imagine that. You just type in your ad into eBay, just being like, I've got a bomb! Just in fucking capital letters.
That Gumtree, it's yours, but you have to collect.
Free cycle.
Yeah.
Not diffused. Yeah. Have to diffuse first.
Yeah. Slightly faulty. Yeah. Yeah.
Have to dismantle yourself, like IKEA furniture.
Yeah.
I went to IKEA the other day. That place is
£1.80
for a hot dog, chips, and a drink.
Yeah.
You can't compete with that.
£1.80. You're not meant to buy furniture there.
No, but they have the food hall where you get the obviously you get the.
I've meatballs. Never been to an IKEA.
Wow.
All right. Where have you been getting your furniture? we've got a Habitat girl over here. Yes. Yeah. Been buying that finest produce.
Where do you get your furniture? You ever bought furniture?
I don't know. Now I have no idea. Is this my biggest fail?
Well, I don't know. This is just a question. Yeah.
See,
think I've
I
never...
I sleep in a hammock.
Yeah, I've never lived near an IKEA, I don't think. Where is the IKEA? Like, there's is there like, one nearby?
But yeah, there's like there was an outskirts. Like, there was a, yeah, there was on like an industrial.
Yeah,
estate.
You got to really have a car, don't you, for IKEA? True. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, basically, what I'm saying is, no, I am actually too poor for IKEA. Yeah. No way am I a Habitat gal.
What's a FreeCycle? Has anyone actually ever got anything off FreeCycle?
I've gotten rid of stuff on FreeCycle.
It's always rubbish. Like when you always think like, oh, I'm gonna get a free TV, and it's just like, no, it's like a mouldy old shelf.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you want some like used toothbrushes or something? Like, no, like, what was that?
What I did do was when I was too poor to buy a bed, I built one out of like those wooden pallets.
Oh, that's quite cool.
Yeah.
And what, just lobbed a mattress on top?
Yeah.
Wooden pallets.
Yeah, like, you know, wooden pallets that, you know, when stuff gets shipped and that, you know, just all that shit that you always just see on the side of the road. Yeah. Like, right. Yeah.
Oh,
nice. That's just quite sanded trendy. Them that's down like and a, varnished
yeah.
them. And
oh, that's...
Yeah, you
it's,
that.
I mean,
you
it's very
that.
It's very Brighton, isn't it? Yeah. Like, so what I'm saying is I'm a prick.
Yeah, Brighton cheek.
Yeah, exactly.
You built a bed.
I did build a bed, yeah. And then once I had enough money to buy a frame, I threw it out.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Did you get to the point, I remember being very, very, very poor as a student and heating, just like never having that on, regardless of the current
regardless
state
of the temperature.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, there was a point where you're like, what purpose does my house have? Because it's so cold.
Yeah, yeah.
This is doing nothing. Exactly.
It's leaking.
Yeah,
like,
the water doesn't work properly.
It's like when you have to huddle around your fridge for warmth. It's like, it's 7 degrees in there. Come on, boys. Let's get this going.
Oh, wow. I should go on to the last film story.
Yeah.
Cool. So this is the state of Japanese trains. Japanese rail firm apologises after train leaves 20 seconds early.
I mean, I...
What a nation.
What a nation.
Japan's railways are well known for their punctuality, but one service left a station near Tokyo a whole 20 seconds early. The Tsukuba... film wasn't doing accents for that one. Express train was due to leave Minami Nagareyama station just north of Tokyo for Tsukuba at 9:44:40 a.m. So they do to the second.
To the second.
Local time on Tuesday, but instead left at 9:44:20 a.m.
Can I say, I read this article on my phone when I was at Three Bridges station waiting for a rail replacement bus at 1 in the morning on Wednesday.
Wow.
It was just like...
Yeah. No, it's painful. It's ridiculous. I mean trains in England. I've you know, it's when they don't have a time on the board for when the train's going to come. You ask someone's like, it's going to come when it comes.
Yeah,
it's going to, you know, why are you being funny about this? Like you've done something wrong, but you're annoying them by asking.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's
got mates a train.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
Well, mate, we're doing you a favour. Yeah, no, you don't have to pay for this.
I don't run the trains, mate. It's not, you know, I'm not in charge.
I'm not driving it, am I?
Yeah. I want to get on it just as much as you.
Yeah. But you work here. You need to have information.
Yeah.
So a statement posted on the Metropolitan Intercity Railway website said the crew did not sufficiently check the departure time, which suggests that there wasn't even a malfunction. They just literally went, on you go. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. Deeply apologise for the severe inconvenience. Severe inconvenience. 20 seconds.
Japan's just like, oh, sorry, we're too perfect.
Yeah. Japan is kind of, has anyone been to Japan?
I've never, no.
I've never, and I would really, really, that's like my number one destination, I think, Tokyo.
Just for the trains, or?
But yeah, it's a big part of it, but the food also.
Mm.
Final thing on this is that they've deeply apologised and all this. Even though they didn't receive any complaints.
Can you imagine, like, English, like, your just train will never come, and then just be like, fuck off, like, I don't care.
So,
my train doesn't exist, and then they'll just be like, no, you know.
They've had a train depart 20 seconds earlier than it should.
And not had one complaint.
And not had one complaint, and they've said, we're so sorry about this, we've really dropped the ball on this one, lads.
Oh my God.
Oh God, what an amazing country. It reaches speeds of up to 81 miles an hour, carries more than 230,000 passengers a day.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because when a British train shows up, it will be so horribly packed.
Oh,
and your train experience is never a pleasurable experience.
Have you seen those ones where it's like the busiest trains in the UK?
Yeah, it's hideous. Mm. Well, the only positive train story I ever had was actually on the way up to Edinburgh, they overbooked the train. So they were like, oh, right, you can sit in first class. Because
yeah,
messed up. which is pretty good.
Mate, I'm expecting that this afternoon because it's trains to Manchester and there's not that many on today.
Yeah.
But there's a game. There's loads of Manchester United fans in London.
Oh, I love a train full of football fans. It's my favourite.
Oh no. Anyway, well, that's the news, I guess.
That's the news.
You got any more points on Japanese rail services?
I
had another one, which is driverless bus in crash after 2 hours on road in Las Vegas.
Wow.
But it wasn't its fault. It wasn't its fault.
I do. Okay, so a quick point on driverless cars. That is just going to make lorry drivers all unemployed. And I mean, I know we're getting a bit like into like universal income and chat here, but like, I feel like that what's going to happen? Like, is everyone going to retrain and just do something else? Or what's the plan?
Well, it is interesting. There's a website which you can type in your job title and it'll tell you how
likely... How screwed you are.
Yeah, literally, it'll tell you how likely your job is to be taken by a machine.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's got to be like... Because I read this thing about in America, in certain states, like lorry and like long haul, you know, transport is like one of the biggest employers in the state. Like... What will happen? Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
But
you're in Australia as well. Like,
yeah, who's going to buy all the cocaine?
But then there's an interesting point as well, because there was an industrial revolution and this was the same kind of chat then. It was like these factories, these automated ways of producing, is going to replace all the handmade stuff of all the people who had. But then we got through that because there are jobs now that didn't exist like 10 years ago. Like, imagine in 2005 your mate coming up and going, I just got a job as a social media manager. Like, what the hell? What on earth are you talking about?
You crush MySpace, man. My MSN game is off the chain.
Did you get MySpace?
Mate, Top 8 Friends was the best.
Ooh, yeah. So much politics.
So much politics. And then remember it went to like 16 and 20, kind of like top 20 friends.
Yeah.
It is amazing that they made you.
But you'd always put the person that you fancied like fourth or fifth, so you didn't seem too keen.
Yeah, that's fair.
That is fair.
Kids don't know about that. Kids don't know about MSN. They don't know about dial-up. They don't know about Blockbuster Video. They don't know none of these things.
That's true. It's a whole different world. I still have my email address is brodysnook@msn.com.
Badman32. There was 31 other bad men out there, but that was my
you got bad.
I was Badman 32.
Badman
32 at hotmail.co.uk.
The 32nd bad.
Yeah, I was a 32nd bad man out there. And I genuinely had that email address until I was about 17 when I opened a bank account. And like, he was like, "What's your email address?" And I said, "Badman 32." And the guy was just like crying of laughter at me. And I was like, "Right, it's time to get an adult email address."
It does sound like the worst street cred.
Yeah.
I don't want to brag, guys, but I'm 32nd Badman
on the whole internet. Like, that's, you know,
it's like you're
just not in your postcode.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it's like, you know, when you take a ticket at these things and you have to wait for your number to come up. That's how Badman is. Batman 32, that's me.
But ringing up your mates individually to tell them that you'll be on MSN in an hour is something that's not...
That's a lot of tech, just to have a chat.
It's got to ring them up. Yeah.
And your point about the crushes as well, MSN, like, logging out and logging in. So they kept popping up that you logged in, so that if your crush was online, it's like, and they didn't talk to you off, like, damn.
So those webcams as well, like 10 second delay. Live for that. Just like, say something funny to the girl you fancied, like, no one can see this, I don't know why I'm doing it. But say something funny and just be like a 10 second delay and just pray that her face went from to like, and it'd be like, oh, okay. Look.
Just all pixelated.
Yeah.
There's like satellite.
Go on cam? Like, what? Like, you're 12, like, what are you going to do? Like,
I think, well, I mean, growing up in small town Australia with small town Australian dial-up internet, like, you guys know nothing of pain.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long did it take to, like, download a film of LimeWire?
I've never done that.
Oh.
I didn't even know LimeWire had films.
Yeah, it did.
You know, we used to, like, download a song and just hope that that was the song that you would get.
Some, like, what was the weird audio recording? It would always be some, like, strange, like, it was, like, a president talking or something. I remember, I'll try and find that and play it for next week, but it was this weird, like, loads of times you download a song and it was just, like, a scam. That's how Soulja Boy got famous, not to go back to our mid-2000s rap stuff.
Oh, my God, Soulja Boy was the best.
He got famous because he would just find the top 10, whatever the charts were, and then upload millions of copy of Soulja Boy Tell 'em as with that song name, and then eventually loads of people put it on their iPods.
Man,
really?
I recently had a flashback to me doing the Soulja Boy dance to impress a boy in my neighbourhood. How about that?
Did it impress him?
Wait, sorry. Did you go to his house and like do it sort of like 80s film style? Yeah. Or was it like
that's literally my
Right. What was that? But what was the
very useless for a podcast.
What was the dynamic of doing the dance for him?
Do you know what? I think we all just used to kind of, because I lived in a cul-de-sac, so we used to just kind of gather there after school between the hours of like 3:30 and 5:30.
Yeah.
And I reckon I just probably hung out there and continued to do it till he came out.
Well, did you see him? And then did you get your friends involved as well, or was it just you, just solo?
I'm pretty sure there were people around me. I don't think I had the confidence to just soldier boy it up in the cul-de-sac by myself.
Soldier boy in the cul-de-sac?
Yeah.
And like, was it just like, so you and a couple of friends did it, but you were like the main one in the middle?
I think no one was speaking to me.
Okay.
And I was just, I don't know, what was that dance even called? Was it just called the Soldier Boy?
Yeah, Soldier Boy. Tell him. Oh,
what me whip and what me
roll? Crack that.
Crack that.
Oh yeah. Well, I was doing that in the hope that, dear reader, I married him. it worked out well, guys.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Oh fuck knows. I was probably 12.
I don't know. I feel like you might have been older than that.
Do you think?
I was 17.
It was vintage by then, guys. Classic hip hop.
Yeah. Okay, Soulja Boy. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of doing that in nightclubs nights or whatever, but I've never danced because I know I can't dance to impress a girl. I feel like that would. In a nightclub, you might. You
but know. Not as like a fucking like mating kind of ritual.
I mean,
primal,
I just
it's
don't,
quite primal, especially just, that dance is quite primal. Yeah. I mean, imagine a 12-year-old white girl in small town Australia doing that in a cul-de-sac.
I love that you all hung out in a cul-de-sac. That was like your. That was. What did you say? Like you going down.
It was
the,
either
you going down the sack today.
It was either the cul-de-sac or like the spare block across the road from the cul-de-sac, or underneath the G.
Underneath the J. See, that's cool. That sounds like something out of Line 210.
It was horrible.
Hanging out under the J.
It's horrible. Yeah. Why?
Oh, it was just where bad things happened between 14-year-olds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. See, I just hung out in parks and tried not to get mugged. That was actually my life. Yeah. Like,
oh man, your upbringing sounds so much cooler than mine.
Not really. I don't know. Yeah, just bigger kids nicking your phone constantly. It's very annoying.
It was such like an inevitability. Or there's like
who like grew up, you know, both grew up in London. Like everyone you knew who was a teenager in London got their face smashed in, their phone stolen from them at one point. Like,
that's crazy.
Let me hold your phone. Okay.
Give me your
phone. Let me hold your phone for a bit.
Yeah. All right. So I'm not going to be giving that back to you.
Hold on to the SIM card.
But were they, what kind of phones were you losing? Like Nokias?
Flip phones? Yeah, probably like flip phones, Samsungs. Mm. But I remember I didn't even have a chance to give the person my phone. He was like, give me your phone. I would have done it, but then he just beat me up anyway.
You're quite a big guy. You're a big.
I was a weird, strange-looking teenager. Like, a huge head, very small body.
My friends are as well. They used to call him Meathead.
One usually catches up to the other. It's like growing into your ears, isn't it?
Yeah, no, well, my grandma once, she's dead now, but she once told me, age 14, she looked at me over a table and said, Tom, don't worry, one day you will grow into your head. So that's, you know, like it was hand-me-down school uniform, you know? It's
He's got a head, nice. Well, you want to grow out of your head.
Yeah.
Disgusting. That is the way you want to go.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I don't know. Can you grow out of your... I feel like if you got, like, massive, maybe...
There are some people where they are so big, they go to the gym all the time.
Usually the gym... The gym kind of makes you a little bit disproportionate.
Yeah, can do. I was watching Pumping Iron, Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary, and, I mean, it's disgusting, like...
But he's talking about coming.
He says, that bit where at the end, when you're about pushing it, it's like coming for me. For me, it's like coming, and you're just like, yeah, you need other hobbies, man.
Right.
Fair play, he's big.
And he's made one hell of a career for himself, Arnie. Fair play.
I feel like it's not discussed every day that guy was governor of California.
Yeah.
That random actor.
I mean, Jingle All The Way is probably my favourite work
That's
of his.
So good. That's so good.
Real good.
I only watched that last Christmas the first time.
Did you?
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Turbo Man. Put that cookie down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is some quality.
I mean, you couldn't do a German accent, but you've nailed that.
Yeah, Kindergarten Cop as well. That is also You know, that
I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen, has anyone seen Kindergarten Cop here?
No.
Go. You've got homework for the Christmas special. You have to watch Kindergarten Cop.
Spice Girls movie.
What the hell?
Spice Girls movie called? Is it just Spice? Spice World.
Spice World. Yeah.
Spice World. Spice. Kindergarten Cop. Well, this is a good start. It's a good start.
The original Power Rangers movie was solid.
Nice.
We're just listing B movies now.
B. Oh, if you want to see, a quality film, they always bring it up for like worst like film. There's a documentary called like Anything Could Be Made in the 90s, and they always bring up this film that was made with Whoopi Goldberg in like 2003. In like 98. Sorry. And the premise of the film is a buddy cop film, but her buddy cop is a dinosaur from the future. giant puppet dinosaur from the future. It is unbelievably good. Like, it's just like, who came up when they were pitching that in the room? It's just like, okay, I've got a buddy cop film and it's a dinosaur. like an old dinosaur, no, a future dinosaur from a world where dinosaurs reign. Yeah,
I mean, Whoopi, like, did she need to refurb her house or something? Yeah, like, why would she ever have agreed to that?
You took that check.
Exactly. Wow,
I don't understand why they've gone for a dinosaur.
Oh, but yeah, stick that on the list. I'll be happy to watch that.
Yeah, put that one on. Do you know what it's called?
Dino Cop. Something Rex, I think. DI Rex or something. I'll find it at the end. Okay, let's move on to the main segment. This is Brody Snook's Fail of Your Life.
Oh, yeah.
The Fail of Your Life.
Okay, so Brody, take it away.
You know, I really wanted to have some kind of like impressive story that involved like a super heroic comeback. Like, I wanted to start this by being like, well, when I was homeless, but I don't have anything like that. I feel like I'm quite a careful person, so I've spent a lot of my life trying not to fail. But I think like the most interesting thing is like life's little fails. Do you know what I mean? Like every day, like fucking just leaving my house without my headphones today count. Like, that is the worst.
That's the fail of your
life. It's the fail of my day, guys. Hopefully it doesn't get any worse than that. But yeah, I kind of think like I'm preoccupied with like, you know, everyday failures. Mm-hmm. I think because they're sometimes got the most humour in them. Like, how do I stop the flashbacks from 2006 when someone said hello to me and I went, yeah, well, thanks. Do you not ever get those? Where you just kind of like, you're walking around and you just remember, like, for example, Soldier Boy dancing.
Did he like jump in and like start doing it with you?
So romantic. Came in on one of the boxes.
Yeah.
I'd love to say yes.
Everyone was like, oh, they're that cool Soldier Boy couple. Yeah. That's so cool. Like,
and you guys meet, well, I saw your mom dancing. Yeah. Cracking that Soldier Boy.
And when she whipped, I was just like, and I nayed, and that was it.
Oh God! Imagine
love at first crank.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel a lot from my childhood where I've just kind of gone, oh God, like those cringy kind of things. Yeah. I remember one specifically where we had to. I don't know about you guys, when you were growing up at school, the like swimming was like a compulsory part of our curriculum.
Yeah.
So we had that. I think I was probably in about year two, which meant that I was 8, and we'd just been swimming at school and had come back to class, and we were all like putting our stuff away in our bags, and you know, like your bag hooks, but everyone's got their little backpack on there. I was putting all my like wet swimming gear back in my backpack, and there was a guy next to me who I super fancied. Not the guy I did the Soldier Boy dance at, because that was later in my life. But yeah, so there was a guy I fancied next to me. I remember his name was Jared Hardy.
And, what a name!
Yeah,
that's an actor's name.
It is.
Hey,
right.
I'm Jared Hardy.
Yeah,
Jared Hardy. Yes. Ooh, yes,
a name similar to that, because you probably shouldn't say names on a podcast.
Yeah, I'm Jared.
Well close. So he was next to me putting his stuff in his bag, right? And I realised I had dropped like a. Oh, there's the alarm for my humiliation. I realised I'd dropped out of my bag like a little balled up, damp pair of underpants, right? And I remember these underpants so well because they had Aladdin and Jasmine on them, because why wouldn't you wear them on your ass when you're 8? Makes total sense. And I remember I dropped them, right, and just like, do you know when time just stops? Because you're like, oh, this is where it all ends. I was mortified. And he looked at the fucking pants on the floor, and then he looked at me and I looked at the pants, and I was like, oh God, what's gonna happen? And he was like, he laughed and he was like, oh, they're yours. And I went, no. And then he was like, okay. And I went, there was like this pause, and I just panicked and I went, but I'll have them. And I picked them up and put them in my fucking bag and just walked into class being like, started out. And then I kind of went, oh, he thinks I've just picked up someone's damn pants off the floor.
That's something that only an 8-year-old would, just like,
that sounds like
I'll have them though.
I'll
smell these later.
But keepers, though.
I mean, they were Disney pants, guys. You know, at least I had good taste. But
yeah, good
for how fucking weird is that? That's so weird. What a little pervert.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really, I don't know. You probably just, maybe you just thought you didn't have many pants and you needed them. Yeah. Needed more pants.
Maybe.
Is that the end of the story with them?
Yeah. Then? Well, obviously we ended up together, but yeah.
Was it one of those where it was like a relationship for a week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Nice.
Yeah.
You were going out with them, but you didn't say anything.
Yeah. Well, did you have any eye contact with them?
Just send out a press release.
Yeah. We're in love and, it's going to last forever.
And then also the opposite, where it's also kind of like, oh, we've decided to cease our relationship. And, he finds that out by me passing a note across.
Who dumped him? That's a big dude.
7 pounds.
Yeah, I mean,
I always remember you.
I probably couldn't have lived with the lie that they originally were my pants. Do you know?
Mm.
Anyway,
so I feel like you get.
I'm pretty sure he's a tree lopper now. So
a what?
A tree lopper.
What's a tree surgeon is that?
Cuts trees.
Tree surgeon.
That's what we call them in England. If you've got a tree that's like out overgrown your garden, you need someone to come and cut it down for you.
And sorry, that's tree surgery.
That's
fucking with me.
that's a genuine profession. I'm not joking.
You lock up tree surgery.
Yeah.
See, in Australia, we just lop them.
Just lop them.
Just tree loppers.
Yeah.
Is that like Georgia? Is that seen as like a rubbish?
He's
a failed guy. He's a tree lopper.
The pay is really good.
Because I think tree surgery is quite a.
You could walk around there.
I'm a tree surgeon. All I do is have podcasts. Huge fans, but he doesn't speak for us. We love him.
What about loppers?
Yeah, please go and see Brody's Edinburgh show. I hate tree surgeons.
Yeah,
and everything wrong with them.
Tree lopper. Okay. Well, tree surgeon is more weird. To be fair,
it is weird. Yeah, I mean, I think like. Were you expecting some kind of real... To be fair, the funniest thing about this was that Tom invited me on the podcast, right? He came to... not came to see me, but he was at the gig where I did, 10 new minutes of material in Islington the other day. And then immediately I came off stage and you came up and you went, do you want to do my podcast about failure?
I've been doing it to everyone, don't worry. Yeah, Jimmy, that's happened quite a lot.
Never do those jokes again.
Yeah.
I
did exactly the same thing when so was at Angel on it. He's definitely not going to come on because he has better things to do, but I went to Sean Walsh and I was like, hey man, do you want to come on my podcast? It's about failure. And he was just like, I'm pretty busy.
Not failing
and being successful.
We contributed to the show because that's our fail.
We tried to book bigger guests.
You've got the cul-de-sac's biggest comedian.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool. I still think that sounds really cool. I never had that. Like, you would go to places to just... It's like you go to, the shopping centre or whatever, the high street, you just be there.
You just go nowhere to go.
I mean, that sounds cooler to me than some bitumen. Like, that's exactly what I was hanging out on.
Some
bitumen. What do you call it?
Some bitumen.
Yeah.
Some
bitumen.
Pavement.
Oh, that we
call it pavement.
We've called it pavement.
Man, well. I've lived here for 8 years and I've never had this much fucking. I call it bitumen.
Bitumen.
Some bitumen.
The bitumen.
What, so you just be like, guys, we're going to chill the bitumen?
is it like slang?
What is that? Is it?
It's just what we call paving.
Okay. Fair.
Bitumen is tarmac.
Okay.
I suppose is the way you'd say it.
Okay. Got it.
Bitumen.
So that was my hangout.
Cool.
That was your bitumen. Spot.
Yeah, just the cul-de-sac. Till a car came, obviously, then you'd get on the curb.
Right, but you just do dance. It sounds like something out of an American movie.
There was just fuck all to do, so we just used to build jumps and,
do stunts?
Yeah.
Just did sweet stunts on bikes and stuff?
I'll tell you what, one of my other biggest fails is that I couldn't actually ride a bike until I was about 12.
That's is that. Like, imagine in Australia where everyone's riding a bike, that can be.
Yeah.
What stopped you?
I don't really know. Probably just fucking coordination, I guess. Like, and fear as well. I was a very scared child, so I never tried anything.
Okay.
Hence why I'd never fail, because I'd never try.
So, that could be a failure in itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Jesus Christ. This is getting slightly too deep. Now I'm just going to question everything I do. Or don't do, because I'm too scared. Yeah, I couldn't ride a bike for ages. And then I remember having like a proper big stack when I first started riding a bike. Tell me you say Stark.
Yeah.
You just looked at me like, oh, here we go again.
Bike.
So you're riding what?
Yeah. Don't you mean a metallic rotating speed? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bike.
Bike.
So childhood in Australia was a
series of failures.
Okay.
Yeah.
In itself. Ever any encounters with dangerous animals?
I mean, I remember kind of like watching my dad kill a snake with a cricket bat.
What?
Stuff like that, yeah. I mean, that's
never
not...
had that. No. See, that's something we missed out on and growing up in North
you
London.
You watch your dad kill a snake with a cricket, that is amazing.
I remember watching...
Where was the snake?
On our doorstep, out in front of our house. Didn't but that's kill? That to me is not interesting, like that's very much just...
Really?
Yeah. Always happens at
home. I watched my dad naked chasing a kid trying to nick our lawnmower from the shed. that's what I was dealing with. Yeah.
Why was he naked?
Yeah, that's
because it was
question.
Just the middle of the night. He wasn't wearing any clothes. So he's just like, you know, the that's, guy's walking out with the lawnmower. You're going to do what you're going to do. Like,
that sounds way more dangerous.
Yeah. I don't know. A deadly snake.
I don't know. Pikey with a lawnmower.
Yeah.
He's equipped, to be fair.
Yeah.
Was it?
Probably shouldn't say Pikey. Young gentleman. Yeah.
Some young,
misguided youth.
A little
He probably had a lot of troubles in his life. I hope he's doing well now, and I hope that the money that he made from the lawnmower has put him through college, and he is a successful.
So he got away with the lawnmower.
Yeah, he did. He's
probably a tree surgeon now, mate.
His
fondness for.
Well, he's got the equipment.
Yeah. That was it. He was setting up his tree lopping business.
Famous tree lopper.
Yeah.
He'll come back one day to your dad and get like the brand.
Buy him like the best lawnmower.
Man,
ever.
It could have been Jared. You never know.
Yeah,
he's around.
Okay, guys, this has been a really great fourth episode of All I Do Is Fail. As ever, Brody, do you want to plug anything? Do you got any gigs that you want to plug?
Unless anyone's going to be in Australia for Fringe, probably not.
I think there might be people.
I'll be out in Australia in February in Perth at Perth Fringe doing my show called Babe, and the tickets go on sale 7th of December. So. Basically, if you follow me on social media, which is any of my handles are Brody Snook, so BRODISNOOK, it'll all be on there.
We'll get that in the description.
Guys. Yeah, I should probably actually put mine. I know that we've never done. Yeah, at Tom.
We still haven't shared that.
I don't try and copy my idea now.
Yeah, come on, we're all getting in there.
Aliwood's gigs.
Yeah, Aliwood's done. Yeah, I've got no good gigs. Like, unless it's not going to go up today, I'll be like, come to Wine Gums in Cambridge. But this will go out long after I've done that. So that's not.
Oh yeah, if you just go to any open mic, you can see any of us at any time.
Yeah, we'll be there
testing new jokes and. Getting invited on failure podcasts immediately afterwards.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you much for listening. I've been Tom Elwes.
I've been Ali Woods.
And thank you very much,
Brody Snook.
Woo! Yay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.